This is my boomstick!
The Mike Cannon Show, normally heard Mondays from 2 to 6.
I'm with another gentleman here who's at the anti-Nazi protests. And I
this is Mike Cannon. I'm with Becca, who has returned from Palestine for the fourth time.
I'm with a vendor at the energy fair here who has biodiesel.
This is Mike Cannon. I'm with a group, the RNC Welcoming Committee for the Republican National Convention that's going to be coming up.
Anita's still here, even in Algiers, where a lot of the community businesses aren't open, and it's 100 times fold that in huge swaths of this town, like in the 9th Ward, where almost nobody's back because there's no infrastructure set up there. So
stay current. Listen to the Mike Cannon Show.
And you too can stay current by checking out the Mike Cannon Indie Media Radio Show, normally heard every Monday from 2 to 6 p.m. on this, your only not-for-profit, commercial-free community radio station, 93.3 WNRB LP Wausau. Free people, free radio. Welcome back to the third hour of this Indie Media Radio program, The Mike Cannon Show. Coming up next will be This Week in Palestine, giving you a non-Zionist, non-Western point of view from the Palestinian perspective. That'll be followed by the always hilarious Scooter and his Interside Radio program. After that, we'll have some more music of love, rage, and resistance, with a little bit of goofiness here and there. These are the type of alternative non-corporate voices from around the country and the world you've come to know and love. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening.
You're right. There is danger here.
This two-minute piece from the Onion Radio Network.
The 2008 presidential race heats up. A new survey finds that again this year, the number one issue among voters is bullshit. And joining us now to discuss the survey is the director of political polling at the Shuttleworth Research Center, Kip O'Leary. Mr. O'Leary, now we all know that bullshit is the deciding factor in most elections, and this poll says that this election will be no different.
That's right. When it comes to electing the leader of the free world, voters look to issues like a candidate's relationship with their ex-wife. Did they ever smoke? Where do they vacation? What's their exercise regimen? These are the kind of core bullshit issues that people really care about.
Now, in the past, whether the candidates are photogenic has been of key importance to voters who care about bullshit. Is that still the case today?
Oh, yeah, yes. And also, what a candidate wears at public appearances is very crucial to the bullshit conscious voter.
You mean like where a candidate, for instance, wears a hard hat at a factory and talks about the local union, or let's say we see someone wearing blue jeans in a rural area?
Yes, that's the kind of local crowd pandering bullshit that people are very passionate about.
Now, according to your research, what will be the top bullshit issues for 2008?
There's so many out there, it's really too early to call. But thanks to the internet, there's literally thousands of websites full of on virtually every candidate, so voters can log on to discuss that bullshit with other people who share an interest in the same kinds of bullshit.
I agree with you on that. I've even noticed that there's an incredible amount of bullshit being discussed on our news blog as well. Mr. O'Leary, how can we in the news media do a better job of focusing on bullshit and really hounding candidates on these petty issues?
The fact is, you've been doing a great job as it is. If it wasn't for the media, there'd be a lot less bullshit in these elections.
Well, thanks so much. Before we go, do you care to make a prediction for November 2008? Who's the top bullshitter so far in this election?
Difficult to say. No one party has a monopoly on bullshit.
I've been a big fan of Hillary. She's so full of bullshit.
I think not just talking bullshit, but actually living the bullshit. Mm-hmm. That's the earmark of a true candidate and of a winner.
Well, thanks so much, and we will be right back after this small break.
This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for August 16th through 22nd, 2008. The ruling Hamas party in Gaza announced its rejection of any Palestinian-Israeli agreement that excludes the issue of Jerusalem. Meanwhile, death toll in Gaza due to the year-long siege has reached 237. The stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. We begin our weekly report with the recent non-violent actions in the West Bank. At least 17 people, including children, suffered from gas inhalation when the Israeli army fired a number of CS gas canisters at protesters in the village of Na'aleen near the West Bank city of Ramallah on Friday. Salah Khawaja, coordinator of the Na'leen Popular Committee, told IMEMC that nearly 400 Palestinians, internationals and Israelis took to the streets of the village to nonviolently protest the construction of the wall and settlements on the village's land. The protest started following the Friday noon prayers when worshippers and international and Israeli solidarity activists walked towards the construction site of the wall. Israeli troops then declared the area a closed military zone and clashed with the protesters. On Thursday, the Popular Committee in Na'leen organized a nonviolent protest. The Israeli troops fired CS gas canisters and rubber-coated steel bullets at the nonviolent demonstrators, wounding 9 people, including 4 children. Dozens of Palestinian, international, and Israeli civilians were treated for gas inhalation as the Israeli army showered them with CS gas during the weekly nonviolent anti-wall protest in the village of Bil'in, west of Ramallah. A group of 100 protesters marched after the Friday prayers in the village towards the illegal wall built on the villagers' land. The Israeli army attacked the civilian protesters with batons, concussion grenades, and CS gas, causing dozens to suffer from gas inhalation, Iyad Burnat, head of the Popular Committee Against the Wall and Settlements in Bil'in, reported. Moreover, troops also sprayed protesters with colored water. Burnat told IMEMC he believes the water contained chemicals and could cause skin problems. Similarly, a number of international Israeli peace activists and Palestinian villagers marched after the Friday prayers in Al-Masara village near Bethlehem in a nonviolent protest against the annexation wall built on the village's land. Local sources reported that the Israeli army stopped the protest by shooting CS gas canisters, rubber-coated steel bullets, and concussion grenades. Among the protesters were children who were injured by the Israeli troops. A number of civilians reportedly suffered from gaz inhalation. Mazen Al-Azza, one of the local coordinators, told IMEMC that another goal of the protest was to commemorate the 39th anniversary of attack on Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem on August 21, 1969, by an Australian national named Michael Dennis Rohan. At the time, the Israeli authorities said he was insane in order to clear him from standing trial, and the case was closed. For IMEMC, this is George Schmaui. As the Palestinian ceasefire with Israel enter its 9th week, death toll in Gaza due to the Israeli siege reaches 237. This and more from IMEMC's Rami El-Maghari in Gaza.
Ramadan Al-Ghalaini died of cancer as he was banned from leaving the Gaza Strip to get the needed medical treatment, the Hamas-run health ministry reported. On Saturday, the Israeli naval forces attacked 2 Palestinian fishermen while on board on Gaza Strip shores. Ayman Mustafa Al-Essi, 29, and Abdul Karim Al-Nahal, 40, were arrested and released later on by the Israeli forces. Meanwhile, the Free Gaza Movement, a group of 60 internationals, including human rights activists, aid workers, and journalists, sailed from Cyprus on Thursday towards the coastal territory. According to organizers, the 2 boats loaded with internationals and humanitarian aid to the Gaza's population attempt to break the Israeli blockade on the Gaza Strip since June 2007. Earlier, the Israeli Foreign Ministry said it understood the mission of the Free Gaza Movement, but declared it would prevent their arrival on Gaza shores. For more than a year now, Israel has been closing all border crossings of the Gaza Strip, depriving the 1.5 million residents of their basic rights to freedom of movement, appropriate living conditions, work, health, and education. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Maghari in Gaza.
Israeli army troops wounded 31 Palestinians, including 10 children and 3 international human rights defenders in the West Bank this week. Most of these civilians were injured when the Israeli military used force against peaceful demonstrations organized to protest the construction of the annexation wall. IMEMC's Rula Shahwan has the details.
Israeli forces conducted at least 40 military invasions into Palestinian communities in the West Bank. During these incursions, Israeli forces kidnapped 37 Palestinians, including 10 children. This week's attacks focus on the cities of Nablus, Hebron, Jenin, Bethlehem, and Ramallah. Following these incursions and detentions, the number of Palestinian civilians kidnapped by the Israeli army in the West Bank since the beginning of this year now stands at 1,789. Israeli troops positioned at various checkpoints in the West Bank abducted at least 1 Palestinian civilian. On Thursday, 9 Palestinian civilians, including 4 children, were wounded by the Israeli military in the village of Nan'in, west of Ramallah, as troops opened fire at a non-violent protest against the wall. On Wednesday, 2 Palestinian children were injured when Israeli forces moved into Tammun village, southeast of Tubas, and opened fire indiscriminately. Also on Wednesday, Israeli forces raided the headquarters of 3 Palestinian radio stations in Hebron. They confiscated equipment and abducted 2 members of staff. On Tuesday, Israeli troops attacked a number of shops selling fertilizer and agricultural materials, where they confiscated agricultural equipment and crops at worth approximately 35,000 shekels. There are about 600 permanent roadblocks, manned and unmanned checkpoints spread across the West Bank. In addition, there are some 60 to 80 flying or temporary checkpoints erected across the West Bank by Israeli forces every week. For IMEMCs, this is Rula Shahman.
The ruling Hamas party in Gaza announced rejection of any Palestinian-Israeli agreement excluding the issue of Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the promised national dialogue between Hamas and the Fatah Party of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has yet to begin. This and more by IMEMC's Paul Martinez.
Palestinian Prime Minister and leader of the Hamas movement, Ismail Haniyeh, slammed Israeli Prime Minister Yehud Olmert's proposal for a solution to the Palestinian-Israeli conflict based on a Palestinian state on 93% of the West Bank, with Israel annexing 7% of the land area, including the major Israeli settlement blocks. Haniyeh's remarks came against the backdrop of a continuing Israeli excavations beneath the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the third holiest site for Muslims in occupied East Jerusalem. The Jordanian Foreign Ministry filed a written protest at the excavations through the Jordanian ambassador in Tel Aviv. So far, peace talks between the Israelis and Palestinians have not achieved any progress on the ground, as Israel continues to expand settlements, maintain hundreds of checkpoints across the West Bank, and carry out excavations beneath the Al-Aqsa Mosque in occupied East Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the Hamas party in Gaza denied that Cairo has sent invitations to the various Gaza factions for a new round of national dialogue with the Fatah party of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. President Abbas, whose party was ejected from Gaza on June 14, 2007, flew to Saudi Arabia this week for Arab-Palestinian consultations on important issues such as a national dialogue and the Israeli-Palestinian peace talks. On another note, Egyptian efforts to mediate a prisoner swap between Hamas and Israel, in which hundreds of Palestinian prisoners would be released from Israeli jails in exchange for captured Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit, have yet to bear fruit. The principal mediator and chief of Egyptian intelligence services, Omar Seloumian, this week demanded that Israel and Hamas conclude to deal within the next 3 months. The negotiations have stalled because Hamas and the factions holding Shalit are insisting on a list of prisoners to be freed in the swap, while Israel has rejected the list, saying it cannot free those it claims have blood on their hands. These developments threaten the two-month-old Egyptian mediated truce deal between Israel and Hamas. Several Gaza factions that agreed to the ceasefire deal have recently warned that they will reconsider the ceasefire within the coming 2 weeks due to Israelis' failure to abide by its commitments and open the border crossings. Abu Mujahid, spokesperson for the Salah ad-Din Brigades, the armed wing of the Popular Resistance Committees in Gaza, and one of the factions holding Shalit, stressed his faction's adherence to the conditions for any potential prisoner swap. In an unrelated development, human rights groups in Gaza have decided to appeal to the United Nations Human Rights Council to send a panel to investigate the killing of Reuters news agency cameraman Fadil Shanat, who was killed by an Israeli tank shell in April 2008, after the Israeli military closed its investigation into the killing. Khalil Abu Shamala is director of the Adamir Center for Human Rights in Gaza.
Fadil Shana'a was killed intentionally by the Israel soldiers. He was not a danger, and he was wearing a vest with a press word, and it was very clear to the Israel soldiers, but they killed him in an attempt to prevent any journalist to transfer the reality what is going on, especially at that day. It was an invasion for the east of the middle camps, south of Gaza City.
Earlier this week, an Israeli military prosecutor acquitted the Israeli tank crew of Shana'a's killing, claiming that the soldiers' actions were reasonable and followed army regulations, even though Shana'a was clearly identifiable as a reporter when he was killed. Separately, about 60 international aid workers, human rights activists, and journalists began a journey to the Gaza Strip by sea, hoping to reach Gaza's Mediterranean coast. The group set sail on Thursday from Cyprus. in an attempt to break the Israeli blockade on Gaza, which has been in place since June 2007, when the Islamist Hamas party seized control of the coastal territory. Greta Berlin, a member of the media team of the Free Gaza Boat, told the IMEMC this week that the internationals are determined to sail to Gaza despite Israeli threats to use force to prevent the boat from arriving at Gaza shores. For IMEMC, this is Paul Martinez.
And that's just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant updates, check our website www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This week's report was brought to you by Hossam Kassiz and George Rishmawi.
You are listening to a radio. These radio waves are brought to you by quasars, pulsars, our sun, and some artificial sources.
Welcome to the Inner Side radio program. My name is Scooter, with Episode 9 in the New Atheists for Dummies series. We're going to jump right into Red State Update on location at the funeral of an American soldier, interviewing protesters from the Westboro Baptist Church. That's the Fred Phelps God Hates Fags congregation that scuttled out from under the refrigerator with their support for the murder of Matthew Shepard. I felt compelled to offer a few excerpts, not just because I'm a huge fan of Jackie Broles and Dunlap, but this is truly a brilliant example of guerrilla street journalism theater. And Dunlap trying to score a date with a wackaloon from Westboro Baptist Church is pure genius. The whole video is on YouTube. Check it out, Red State Update.
Hey, what are you doing? Just protesting?
It's our duty to warn these people that if they don't repent of their sins, they're going to hell. It's our duty.
Right.
Every man's duty.
Are you dating anybody, or are you single?
I'm not going to answer any
questions. I'm sorry, listen, I'm not...
Do you have a question about...
It's not a high-pressure thing, I understand. It's just... You know,
do you have a sincere, relevant question to why we're here or not?
Do you go to this church?
This one?
Yeah.
No, I don't go to a fag church.
Fag? Is this a fag church?
Preach that God loves everybody. That's a lie.
Back home we call them queer church. I don't know if that's more politically correct or not.
America is doomed. God hates Obama.
Right.
Am I messing something on the other side?
No, same thing.
This God hates Obama.
That's a good picture of him, though. He's mad. But if he was lover, he'd be like, come on. Come hither, look. All right. Listen, I'll tell you what. If you just want to give me your phone number, I can text you later. We might go get some wings. Something.
Does he like McCain?
No. Anybody who would run for office in this cursed nation is a base human who will sell out to the fags and the baby killers and the adulterers and the fornicators and any other proud sinner. You got Bible for that. No one's going to run for office for a doomed nation but the basest of mankind. We have no sign that says I, we, or me hate fags.
Oh.
God hates fags.
Oh, okay.
Big difference.
Oh, I guess so, yeah. God and you. Yeah, I would say a big difference between y'all two, yeah.
You want some water or something?
No,
Lifesavers? Okay. Wait, I got a sincere question. Siege. The siege is here. What siege is that?
He sent them to warn these people and to show them his power, that he's going to destroy them and send them into hell.
So it's starting with the soldiers, and then it's going to be like locusts and earthquakes?
There's already been earthquakes and tornadoes.
I know that.
All flooding everywhere.
Because God's not going to put up with all this crap here forever. Of course, I think my definition of crap and yours may be a little different. I am serious about those wings, though, if you want to. I got you. Okay. I can take a hit. If anything I've learned over the years, it's when I ain't getting any. I'm having no luck at this civil forum on the presidency.
Faster than blinking, you could spin your last Lincoln where the glances are clinking. If you fail, you're a second. Hell, I'm a thinking that I ain't.
Last week, we were in Fun Drive at KPFT, and we got a generous pledge from a young lady who was psyched about hearing Richard Dawkins on the radio. So here's some more Dawkins with a special that aired on BBC last week about the life and works of Charles Darwin and the current creationist backlash with some fundy kooks thrown in for your amusement. Richard Dawkins' special on Darwin will not be aired on the Discovery Channel that treads as lightly around Iron Age death cults as your friendly American politicians.
The idea is evolution by natural selection, and the genius who thought of it was Charles Darwin. I'm a biologist, and Darwin has been an inspiration to me throughout my whole career. His masterpiece on the origin of species was published 150 years ago, and it changed forever our view of the world and our place in it. What Darwin achieved was nothing less than a complete explanation of the complexity and diversity of all life. And yet it's one of the simplest ideas that anyone ever had. In this series, I want to persuade you that evolution offers a far richer and more spectacular view of life than any religious story. It's one reason why I don't believe in God. I want to show you how Darwin opened our eyes to the extraordinary reality of our world. And I want to give you a glimpse of the brutal elegance of the force which, Darwin realized, drives evolution on. Natural selection. When Charles Darwin was born 200 years ago, sailors and explorers were sending home a dizzying array of specimens from all parts of Britain's growing empire. Every animal was believed to have a unique place in God's creation, each made by God according to his perfect, unchanging design. At school in Shrewsbury, the young Charles Darwin was taught that God had created the earth and all this rich variety of life just 6,000 years ago. Today, thanks to Darwin, we know differently. But even now, according to polls, 4 out of every 10 British people prefer to cling to the old ideas and believe that God created our world and every living creature in it. I think it's scandalous how little our children are taught about evolution at school. A typical class gets just a few hours to study one of the most important ideas in science. I went to meet a science class of 15 to 16-year-olds at Park High School in London to try to open their eyes to Darwinism.
Why do we need to find out about evolution?
Why do we need to find out about evolution? Because it is the explanation for our existence. Because it explains such a huge number of facts, because everything we know about life is explained by it.
I believe in my religion, so whenever I read about evolution or that, I can't understand it. I don't believe it, just like I believe my religion, so...
Right. So you know what you believe when you start, and any new book that says anything different, you don't read it, or what?
Even if it's got evidence, so just like, I follow the stronger evidence. Which is the Holy Book, so...
So the reason you believe it is because that's the one you were told first. Is that a good general...
I can see that a few hours in the science lab is no match for a lifetime of religious indoctrination.
I was brought up to believe it.
You're brought up to believe it. Is that a good reason to believe something, do you think?
Yeah, because I went to church since I was little, so...
Yes, but in the Hindu sacred scriptures, it says something different, doesn't it?
Yeah, but they're brought up to believe that one, then.
Yes, so you mean everybody should just believe what they're brought up to believe, even though they contradict each other?
You can be made to believe something in science, and then you can be made to believe something in religious studies, but and then it's really up to you what you believe. You can't just say that.
Well, look, I hate this phrase, made to believe. I mean, that's an awful thing, and I would hate to... anybody to think I was trying to make anybody believe anything. I'm asking you to look at the evidence. Perhaps you haven't got a full impression of how strong the evidence actually is. Nobody's actually seen evolution take place over a long period, but they've seen the after effects, and the after effects are massively supported. It's like a case in a court of law where nobody can actually stand up and say, I saw the murder happen. But yet, you've got millions and millions of pieces of evidence which no reasonable person could possibly dispute. That's sort of the way it is.
Charles Darwin turned our world upside down. His theory of evolution by natural selection is one of the most profound and far-reaching ideas in human history. It's also, alas, one of the most controversial. Science now has the evidence that proves evolution is true. Yet today, incredibly, the opposition to Darwin is more fiercely vocal than ever, denying plain facts in more and more elaborate ways. The increasingly aggressive backlash, the battles that I think really matter.
We can't get into the business of knocking down kids' religions and the religions of families.
Why not, actually?
Why not?
Because... Why not?
And how the first man to understand evolution himself wrestled with religious faith. For Darwin, the problem was close to home. His beloved wife was a devout Christian. Today we have public battles as we confront the ranks of religious fundamentalists eager to attack Darwin's great legacy, which they just don't understand. When I was a young boy, I looked to God to explain life. And then I was introduced to Darwin and evolution by my father.
At first I didn't get it. It didn't seem possible to me that something so simple could explain so much. But then I learned about it a bit more, I thought about it a bit more, and then suddenly the penny dropped. I really got it. This incredibly simple theory really was capable of explaining everything about life, the beauty, the complexity, the diversity. And then I thought, well, if science can explain something so apparently inexplicable as life, who knows what the limits might be on what science could explain more generally, without any recourse to the supernatural. At that moment, I became an atheist, and I've never looked back.
Charles Darwin, too, changed his mind about this biggest of questions. As a young man, during his voyage on the Beagle, Darwin still believed that God had created the world and everything in it. But then he came across more and more evidence that showed that life must have evolved. Fossil ancestors, patterns of anatomical resemblance, and the power of domestic breeding all showed that life forms had changed over time. Darwin believed there was an entirely natural explanation. In the competition of nature, some variations are more successful and more likely to reproduce than others, passing their variation on. Darwin grasped that the religious story of creation ran against the evidence of the natural world. With evolution, God just wasn't part of the picture. Here, in the 21st century, people are retreating from reason, trying to turn back the clock to a world before Darwin.
You see, Genesis chapter 1 says everything that God made was very... And none of you think kill or be killed, survival of the fittest, nature red and tooth and claw is good. Is the world really 6,000 years old? Do you realise up till Noah's day, people lived to be nearly 1,000? You don't die because you get old, you die because you're a sinner. Up till Noah's day, there's no record of rain.
The Australian John Mackay is a celebrity among evangelical Christians. He's a creationist. He believes in the literal truth of the Bible's creation story, and he attacks evolution on the very crudest level.
So I didn't grow up brainwashed with this. It's the result of finishing my university course, listening to students say, if evolution is true, why can't we see it happening? Third year genetics question to the professor. Right?
You take that question seriously, do you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and the professor, his answer, I took even more seriously when he said, well... It happened so slowly you wouldn't expect to see it happening, and all of a sudden I thought, hang on.
And that's true.
Good. So in other words, what you don't see happening is not science. It's unobservable, and you were the first person to have it on PBS.
You're using the word see as meaning see within one lifetime. If a phenomenon takes millions of years, of course you're not going to see it.
Which means you have a faith position.
It does not.
And you need to admit it.
It means you have to use other evidence than the evidence of one man's eyes. It means you have to look.
Oh, sorry, Darwin was only 1859. That's only 150 years ago almost, right? And you haven't seen it, and I haven't seen it, so please stop calling it science. And call what you're teaching philosophy or atheism, if you're going to really be honest, and my time is up.
That's ridiculous, but anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The refusal to believe in anything you can't see yourself is absurd. Think about it. I never saw Napoleon with my own eyes, but that doesn't mean Napoleon didn't exist. John Mackay can't see a cell or an atom or weather systems on the other side of the world. Does that mean they don't exist?
93.3 WNRB LP Wausau.
Mackay, it seems to me, misunderstands science at a deep level. Science is precisely not limited by what we can see with our own eyes in one lifetime. The whole wonderful endeavor of science is to investigate phenomena beyond human experience. From far-off galaxies to microscopic bacteria. Creationism's next best strategy is not flat denial, but to claim there is evidence against evolution and that a genuine debate is yet to be had. This is the creationist's favorite claim in America, where the battle between faith and science really rages. Charles Darwin's struggle with religion was private. Today, the battle has become public. In my lifetime, opposition to evolution has grown, particularly in the United States. 50 years ago, the Soviet Union launched Sputnik, and the space race began. In response, the Americans made science priority number one. The government poured money into science education. For the first time, evolution was taught in every classroom in America. But the religious fundamentalists hit back.
Some people look at the world and say, it's amazing, a big bang made this from nothing. That's the humanist worldview, based on evolution. Other people look at the world and say, you know, there's a credible design, there must be a designer, and that's called the creationist worldview. And those two worldviews are polar opposite. I mean, somebody's wrong, okay? And they are at war with each other. Well, if evolution is true, you are nothing important. You're just a bit of protoplasm that washed up on the beach. You're not worth a thing. Actually, you're part of the problem because you're one of the polluters of the environment. And the more of you we can get rid of, the better. Where'd that come from? Now, if evolution is true, we came from a cosmic burp about 20 billion years ago. Why am I here? What's the purpose of life? Well, if evolution is true, there is no purpose, so you might as well have fun. If it feels good, do it. Where am I going when I die? Well, if evolution is true, we're going to the grave and we're going to get recycled into a worm or a plant. You see, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if that's true, that puts a whole different set of answers to those questions. That means we better try to figure out who God is and find out what he wants and do what he says. But the devil doesn't like that. The devil came to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Question mark. The first sentence out of the devil's mouth was a question to make Eve doubt God's word. And he's still doing the same thing today. He wants you to doubt God's word. Second thing he said to the woman, he said, "Ye shall not surely die." Now he's denying God's word, and he does that still today.
The next thing the devil said was, "Ye shall not surely die." He's calling God a liar.
And right there is where the whole idea of evolution got started. It didn't start with Charlie Darwin. It started with Satan in the Garden of Eden. He wants you to think you can become a god. Yes, boys and girls, we started off like an amoeba, and we're evolving. We're getting bigger and better and stronger and smarter, and someday we're going to sail around the universe and discover new life forms like Star Trek. Lucifer said, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." Did you ever wonder why the devil hates you so bad? It's because you remind him of God. Now, Hitler said, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough and often enough, the people will believe it. He said they're more likely to believe a big lie than a small one.
To defend their Bible against the biologists, they developed creation science, a bizarre fusion of scientific language and religious doctrine that they touted as a real alternative to evolution. I worry that this is brainwashing, not science. And I felt compelled to take a stand. The most powerful nation on earth is polarized. At this conference of atheists, I'm treated almost like a rock star.
but there are sections of American society that would happily lynch me.
Are you religious at all? I mean, do you pray?
Of course not.
You're not religious at all.
Do I look religious?
Here's Richard Dawkins reading some of his death threat emails. This is good.
I hope you die slowly and you f***ing burn in hell, you damned blasphemy. And you should realize that your entire life has been a delusion and that right now your destiny is all f***ed up, atheist. Go f*** yourself. You, sir, are an absolute ass. Your feigned intelligence is nothing more than the fart of God. You suck. Go burn in hell. Satan will enjoy torturing you. Christian living for God. There is a God. Her created all of us. The only one who is blinded are the unsaved and stubborn. Everything Darwin said is wrong, and evolution has never been proven, and nothing is evolving now. The Bible is the best book. Nothing even comes close to its accuracy, and if you think God's judgment is bad, the devil has worse in store for all unbelievers. No punctuation at all in that one. Doesn't scare me. I mean, I rather pity these people. They react in a way that sounds defensive and actually really rather pathetic. Ha ha, you f***ing dumbass. I hope you get hit by a church van tonight and you die slowly. But there's also an entirely different kind of opposition, slick in style and with a more polished line of attack. Wendy Wright is president of Concerned Women for America. She represents 500,000 evangelical women concerned about issues ranging from lesbians on TV to poor old Darwin. I worry that her organization would condemn American children to ignorance by attacking sound scientific evidence.
Why is it so important to you that people not believe in a creator?
No, that's not the point. I mean, the point is that as a scientist, I'm concerned that children in American schools and in schools elsewhere should be exposed to the evidence and allowed to make up their minds about the evidence.
And we completely agree. In fact, that's why the challenge in America, whenever this debate comes up, is teach the controversy, teach the evidence. Because as it is now, in many cases, school children are only being taught about evolution. They're not being taught about the frauds in evolution and the lack of evidence in evolution. So it's actually us who are arguing for teaching all the evidence, not just the ones that are favorable to evolutionists.
Well, you could say which controversy. Teach the controversy. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And it would be if it was a controversy between equally valid points of view. But it isn't. I doubt if Wendy Wright would teach the controversy about the Earth being flat, because the evidence for the Earth being a sphere is so massive. There's also massive evidence in favor of evolution, but she doesn't seem to want to know about it. Oh, really?
And actually, you're the way you have framed this and your very close-mindedness really is a very good example of the kind of censorship we see within the scientific community that won't even allow discussion about the controversy. If evolution had occurred, then surely, whether it's going from birds to mammals or even beyond that, surely there'd be at least one evidence.
Massive amount of evidence. I'm sorry, but you people keep repeating that like a kind of mantra, because you just listen to each other. I mean, if only you would just open your eyes and look
show
at the evidence.
Show it to me. Show me the bones. Show me the carcass. Show me the evidence of the in-between stage from one species to another.
Go and look at some modern paleontology labs. Go and talk to some modern paleontologists. Just look at that evidence. It's beautiful. The evidence for the transition between the reptilian jaw and the mammalian jaw. The reptilian jaw has several bones. The mammalian lower jaw has only one bone. And the other bones that were in the reptile have now moved into the inner ear. It's a beautiful transition. There are so many beautiful stories. I mean, you'd be fascinated. So, is there evidence for evolution or isn't there? I'll begin with fossils. There are now literally millions of fossils in museums all over the world. They've been dated and documented, and the relationships between them analyzed. When mapped out through time, the anatomical connections can only be explained by evolution. All life is related in a vast family tree. Fossils also show how life forms change over time along individual branches of the tree.
The so-called missing links show the growth of our ancestors' brains over the last 3 million years, as we evolve from something like a chimp on hind legs to modern humans. But there's even more convincing evidence. There is a code of 4 chemicals in every cell of every living thing, DNA. Today, machines can analyze and compare DNA with absolute precision. So Darwin's theory can be tested. Is it true? Yes. The results match the fossils. DNA links all life through the code, and the more closely related two species are physically, the more similar their code. This is just part of the mountain of evidence that supports evolution. Some religious people just don't know enough about it, but some do, and their strategy is even more bizarre. They see God's infallible hand in everything.
Well, the evidence that we have is the same for both of us. But whereas you might see fossils as evidence for evolution, I might well say this is evidence for a worldwide flood.
Would you want someone like this teaching your children science in Britain in 2008? This is Nick Cowan, chemistry teacher at a well-respected Northern Grammar School. And he uses American creationist material in his general studies class.
But you know, it's not just fossils, don't you? The molecules of DNA, the molecules of protein that you look when you look at a mole and a rat and a kangaroo and a human and a monkey, they're all hard molecules that you can see just as you can in your chemistry teaching, and they fall on a perfect family tree. It all fits. It's so elegant, and you as a scientist would appreciate it if only you could remove your blinkers and look at it as a scientist should. How old do you think the world is, by the way?
Less than 6,000 years, you'd probably feel this man is crazy. But I've had a look at this. I don't know. The dating methods we have are flawed in their methodology.
You are a teacher of science in a major British school, and you think that the Earth is less than 10,000 years old.
Yes, I do. I would rather believe God, who was there, who's told us, than scientists who are fallible, who don't know the past, who weren't there. And again, all I'm doing is...
This is a classic old chestnut. God is infallible. Therefore, the Bible is right. It's as if I claimed Darwin was infallible, so what he said was always right. Luckily, scientists don't work that way. We sustain our ideas not through sacred texts, but through reason and evidence.
Reason and evidence.
Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence. Evidence.
And this has been New Atheist for Dummies number 9 on the Innerside Radio Program, a leisure service of the Pacifica Foundation. My name is Scooter. Here's some Annie DeFranco, and I'll see y'all next week.
Teriyaki, you tell me, how does it make you feel? You tell me what's real.
Evidence.
And they say that alcoholics are always alcoholics, even when they're dry as my lips for years, even when they're stranded on a small desert island with no place in 2,000 miles of Iberian. I wonder, is he different? Is he different? Has he changed what he's about? Or is he just a liar with nothing to lie about? Am I headed for the same brick wall? Is there anything I can do about anything at all except go back to that corner in Manhattan and dig deeper this time? Down beneath the impossible pain of our history, beneath the unknown bones, beneath the bedrock of the mystery, beneath the sewage system and the path train, beneath the cobblestones and the water main, beneath the traffic of friendships and street deals, beneath the screeching of kamikaze cab wheels, beneath everything I can think of to think about, beneath all, get out, beneath the good and the kind and the stupid and the cruel, there's a fire that's just waiting for fuel. There's a fire 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 just waiting for fuel.
evidence. If you were president, elected president, would Rumsfeld and Powell be on your team too?
Oh yes, and Cheney. I introduced Dick Cheney the other night at a dinner, which he was kind enough to speak at. And I said, if I'd have been elected president, you'd have been my nominee for vice president. And he stood up and said, well, if you'd have been president, I'd have agreed to be your vice president. I think this is the strongest team, and we've had some very strong teams throughout our history, as far as national security is concerned, than we've ever had.
All right, so just a couple questions for you. First, how many houses do you own?
Well, I just own one.
How many houses do you own?
Zero. I rent.
I rent as well.
And so, Craig, are you related to these two?
Yep, I'm dad and this is friend, that's right.
Okay. Do you think that you'll ever lose track of how many houses you own?
No. I don't understand how that can happen.
So you're basically, you have a mortgage for two houses right
that's
now
that,
until one of them closes, you
that's
have to
correct.
Pay for the other one.
That's correct.
So how is that managing?
Barely.
How many houses do you own?
One.
You know it's one.
I know it's one. If I had any more, I'd know.
How many do you think it would take for you to forget?
What kind of question is that?
Is there a certain number of houses that you would own where you would feel like you would start forgetting how many there were?
Yeah, maybe 50.
You would forget somewhere, at 50?
Somewhere around 50.
How many houses do you own?
Only one.
You're sure?
Positive.
If you have that many houses, there's people that don't even have houses, so...
Maybe he should take some people off the streets and put them in his houses.
I have to say I have strong leanings towards the Obama campaign, and that will be a switch for me.
Why is that?
Because I'm registered Republican.
Really?
Yeah.
Since when?
Well, I'm 38, so 20 years.
You're 38? Sorry.
That's scary.
Hot steel, beside myself in friendless number. I ain't got no culture, nothing. Dirty words, but that don't count. Flight attendants, waitresses, superstition, good amount. There's work to do, hell to pay, memories and fingerprints, calling Papa ignorance. And I don't wanna go sick and tired. Zoom, kick, persuasion, tech. Zoom, kick, persuasion, tech. It's an egg and spoon race, slow and steady. Desert highway of Biento. Still I'm stuck, I can't afford it. Picture postcard, small memento. Echo shadow, sterling silver, burning furnace. Frozen nowhere, just a kid. I had a friend named Deadly Ernest. Cross my heart and hope to die. Stick a needle in my arm. Praise the heavens, call the cops, relax. There's no cause for alarm. Diamond rings and little babies, startlements and miracles. I remember pretty faces, so severe and lyrical. I'm talking Amelia Earhart, Nico Case, Frida Kahlo. All alone the way it should be, I don't even need a shadow. Seeds of wisdom, found no purchase, we don't even have a chance. Birthday party, Armageddon, long stem roses, avalanche. Broken fingers, going nowhere fast and screeching to a halt. All that work for nothing, oh whipping boy, it's all my fault. Zoom, persuasion, tech. Zoom, persuasion, tech. Zoom, persuasion, tech.
Thank you.
gonna go to pieces, easy going, afraid to fly, and so I'm running, catching fish and chopping wood. The revolution, slow time coming, I don't know what else to do. Cross my fingers, teach the children, read your fortune, storm the studios. Come on, all ye faithful pilgrims, no more same old song and dance. Some good ideas get overplayed. I eat my breakfast, ride my bike, a knife between my shoulder blades. See, I'm a man of many problems, up against some scary odds. We kill, we hide, we all fall down. Idiots love to bury gods. It doesn't happen overnight, though never still. I'm filled with wonder, lonely like a tightrope walker, hitchhiker, long distance runner. Some kick persuasion tech. Good night for you, bad night for me. But I still love you lying down. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Not bad, not bad. Not bad at all. I tried your shoes on, cigarettes and crucifixes. Ingmar Bergman, Alphonse Mouzon. Really boring modern music. Really boring modern girl. Get me out of here, I'm drowning. I don't like this modern world. Anti-intellect and marketing. Pretty, pretty, who needs talent? Crying eyes, we're so outnumbered. Fight for the right to remain silent. What do I know? Who am I? My two left feet, my big dumb face. I'd do the same if I had the chance. Cheat the system, rig the race. It's all one big misunderstanding. Inside out, I turn my coat. Don't look back, don't move a muscle. One false move, that's all she wrote. Zoom, kick, persuasion, tech. Zoom, kick, persuasion, tech. Zoom, kick, persuasion, tech, tech.
Interplanetary Weather Service has issued a severe red sandstorm warning for Clark County in the eastern hemisphere of Mars, Bradbury County in the eastern hemisphere of Mars, Azimuth County in the eastern hemisphere of Mars. Due to the nature of the 400-mile-per-hour winds, this red sand can cause immediate death through flaying. If you are in the path of this storm, please launch to geosynchronous orbit immediately. If you are unable to launch to orbit, stick your head between your knees and kiss your behind goodbye. Goodbye.
What have we done? What have we done? Are we making any changes or just having fun? What have we done? What have we done? Is this more than just music? Is it more than just a club? Are we making any difference? Oh, what have we done? What have we done? What have we done? Well, just take a look around, and I'm sure that you'll agree that we've done a lot of things to improve community, like organizing protests and serving food, not bombs, sending books to all the prisoners that have been locked up for so long. Throwing bricks through all the windows of the evil corporate shops, supporting mom and pop and standing up to the murdering racist cops. Seems like we're always talking about things we do wrong, but let's not forget to talk about the good things that we've done. Well, no, we've got our faults, and I must say that I agree. But punk rock music saved my life, I can sing it honestly. Sometimes it may seem like we haven't done anything, but I think that we made it a little bit better than it was. That's why I sing.
Up the punks, up the punks, up the punks. Up the punks, up the punks, up the punks. Up the punks, up the punks, up the punks. Up the punks, up the punks, up the punks.
You have just listened to Buck 65, followed by a little Ghost Mice with Up the Punks. And we'll leave you this week with the opening track from the movie Run Lola Run. The Mike Cannon Show is produced for other not-for-profit, community, and or micropower radio use worldwide at the Glee Glee Studios. Executive producer is David Preckel with technical and web assistance from Michael Red Fox. A little note, because I'll be reporting from the RNC in St. Paul next week, there'll be no new Mike Cannon Show next week. However, the piece I produced this week in Radical History will be posted in the normal places before I leave. So until 2 weeks from now, as always and forever, I'm yours in a struggle, Mike Cannon.
Wenn ich jetzt sterben würde, was würdest du machen?
Ich würde ihn nicht sterben lassen.
I don't believe in trouble. I don't believe in pain. I don't believe there's nothing left but running here again. I don't believe in promise. I don't believe in chance. I don't believe you can resist the things that make no sense. I don't believe in silence, cause silence seems so slow. I don't believe in energy, if tension is too low. I don't believe in panic, I don't believe in fear. I don't believe in prophecies, so don't waste any tears.
sleep now. It'll hurt less in the morning.